This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Punctual today, so Andy's already getting ready for this Monday press conference here at noon. We'll take you right to it.
We'll start it off with Todd Lebo.
Hey, Coach. Heading into this last one, I mean, what do you kind of want to get accomplished with Chris this week and having like an actual full long week to get prepared for a game, because he hasn't quite had that yet, has he?
Right. He'll get a normal week in of work, and look forward to seeing what he does with that. He did a nice job last week of getting everything together and organized in his mind, and was able to manage the game well there.
We'll go next to Pete Sweeney.
Hey, Coach, we know that Patrick Mahomes has gotten started on the rehab process. I know you talked a little bit about it last week, but just generally speaking, how do you feel like he's handling it, and can he be more involved with the team this week?
Yeah, Pete, he's around, so he's in the building and working, doing his rehab and spending a lot of hours doing it. He's really attacked that and will continue to do that, so... So he's around and sees the guys, and but most of his time is being spent rehabbing.
Does he make this trip to Vegas, or will he stay?
Yeah, back? Probably not. Not this soon, no. Do you have another one? Okay.
Go ahead, Jesse.
Oh, okay. And I'll have a quick follow-up, Sid. Hey, Andy, I know this is looking a little bit in advance, but you guys are going to have a top 15 pick for the first time in a long time, and I know that's not the way you want to get there, but how much are you just looking forward to, and how much can that help a team to pick at the start of the rounds rather than, you know, what you guys have done lately with all the success you've had?
Yeah, Jesse, with Brett and his crew doing it, it's that part's exciting to see, and what takes place, and something to look forward to. You're right; it's not where you want to be, but it is where we are, and you know, we've got good people doing the picking, headed up by Brett.
Great, and I wouldn't think this is any other way, but is Travis 100% playing this weekend against the Raiders?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, as it sits right now, we've got one more with Matt Derrick, unless anyone else has a hand to put up.
Hey, Coach, kind of along those lines with Travis, would you imagine any other starters this week that wouldn't play? You know, I know Creed's got a streak start that he'd like to keep going, but are there any, you know, the young guys you'd maybe like to see just get more playing time this week?
The only one I think his questionable there would be Trey. He kind of pushed through that ankle, and and he would probably push through this game too, but I'm most likely going to hold him back a little bit. And so he just, that thing's been bugging on him for a while.
And I know
so that'd be probably the only one. Yeah.
Apologize there. I know you've gone through this every year for the last few years, but you know, is there any scenario that you can imagine where you're not back as the coach next year?
I think I'm coming back, right? If they'll have me back, I'll come back. You never know in this business, Matt. So that's a, you know, that's a tough one, but I plan on it. Yeah.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Coach. It looks like that's all we have.
Okay. Good.
That was a short and sweet presser today. Not that anything different should be expected with the season being what it is. You're a 6-10 football team and you're in the hunt for a top 10 pick right now. And, you know, Andy with a nice little textbook deflection when asked about the draft and that ninth overall pick that they currently have and say, you know, that's a Veach thing. And, you know, the thing that kind of stood out to me was he was asked point blank, is Trav going to play this week? And he said yes, which continues to go hand in hand with the way that it's felt over the last couple of weeks that I think this is it. I do. And frankly, I would not be the least bit disappointed if I was wrong, but with everybody else that's banged up or a little bit hurt right now or injured that's sitting out and Trav isn't, you know, him saying, I'm going to play the last 3 weeks of this season. It leads me to believe that he knows or maybe he thinks he knows that it's over, that this is going to be it for him, that he's going to retire at season's end. And if that was the case, right, if he's going to retire, well, you're not just going to sit out and then retire, right? You're going to play it all the way through, no matter if it's Gardner Minshew or Chris Oladokun at quarterback, whatever's going on. And I mean, frankly, and I missed it live when it was happening. I ended up catching it afterwards via YouTube. The interview that he did with Tony on Thursday prior to the Christmas Day game, that kind of further solidified to me that I think he's ready to hang it up. You know, I remember at one point in the interview, Tony was asking him about coming back and why he continues to come back. And Trav turns around and asks Tony, like, well, why did you keep coming back? And Tony's like, well, because I wanted to win a Super Bowl. He's like, you've done that 3 times. You've got all the all pros. You've got all these records, like, you know, and that to me was very telling of like, Tony had a reason to keep coming back, right? I don't know if Trav does anymore other than like, he wants to close it out with Pat throwing him the football, you know, but Tony even asked him about that. Like, have you thought about that? You know, you might've caught your last pass from Patrick Mahomes. And he's like, you know, he and I have had many connections over the years. And if that was the last time that I caught a pass from him, then that's okay. And to me, it's like, if this was a guy that was coming back, he'd be like, oh, you know, this or that. I don't know. It just feels to me like he's leaning towards at least this being it.
I'm with you on, he certainly has not decided that he is coming back. Either he has not decided or he has decided that he's going to retire.
Right.
And the best way I can describe the look on his face in the locker room recently is, I thought I was going to retire, but I don't know if I can go out like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so would I be surprised if he came back for one more season? No. Would I be surprised if he retires and then we see him in week 12 pop up and do a little Rob Gronkowski? You know, I think he did that, what, twice in Tampa Bay, where he unretired in the middle of the season to come play with Brady. That wouldn't surprise me. But I still think that the leader in the clubhouse has to be retirement. And I'm with you on the fact of, he's playing this week. and he played the last few weeks. Every other starter besides Creed has been held out or shut down due to an injury. They're actually injured. I don't think they're manufacturing injury, but they're taking things slow.
Right.
With everybody. They're erring on the side of caution with everybody.
Guys that might be at 75% and require some kind of off-season surgery, it's like, hey, why don't you go ahead and get that taken care of now so you have a couple more weeks that you can rehab so you're more prepared for voluntary workouts, OTAs, mini camp, yeah. training camp, you know, the preseason, those sorts of things, because everybody and their mother knows that this thing is over.
So you put that, the fact that he's playing, with the interview answers, with his prolonged entrance on Christmas night and looking around a little bit, you've got to feel like we're getting a retirement announcement in the next 2 or 3 months, right? I mean, like, there's no other, I don't know. I do not think anybody in the organization would be moving this way if he was planning on coming back.
No. Somebody's writing a screenplay for a movie in the text line right now. He says, right about the time that Taylor is 5 or 6 months pregnant, he will reemerge in week 10, week 11 to make a playoff run next season.
Kelsey comes back in the playoffs.
Straight out of a movie.
They win Super Bowl 61, and that night we find out they're having a baby. Storybook ending.
You're telling me you're trying to pass along the Brandon Graham storyline is what we're trying to get at here. Or who was it? There was some offensive lineman this year who was retired, who unretired and came back.
Well, it was the Lions.
Frank Ragnow, right?
But then
yes.
He didn't even play a game.
So really?
He unretired. I think it was the Monday of Thanksgiving week. He was going to play in that Thanksgiving game maybe, or it was the next week. But then they came in for his physical to clear him to play and found out he had a grade 3 hamstring tear, which means like, you shouldn't be able to walk on your leg. So this guy intended to come back and play football, but actually like his leg was falling off the bone, so he couldn't come back and play.
I never heard that. That makes a lot of sense, because I watched a couple Lions games and I didn't see him.
It got buried in the us laying the Chiefs to rest after that Cowboys game. You know, not the whole station wasn't here those few days. But yeah, that was a wild turn of events. He signed a contract to play in the NFL with a grade 3 hamstring tear. And I'm not going to read, if you, listeners, Google grade 3 hamstring tear and some of the pictures that you see on there. I don't know how you don't know you have that. So did you not know, or were you just going to try to play through that? Like, I don't know, but Frank Ragnow, one tough son of a gun for trying to come back and play through that.
And like, I'd love to get a backstory on it, because like, he wasn't playing obviously. So like, was he trying to, you know, work out and get himself back into shape before the unretirement announcement came out, and that's when it happened? Or did this happen like last off season, like after the retirement, and he's just been walking around with it, retired for the last 8 months? Like, that's absolutely insane. I had not heard that. But I mean, no surprise to anybody. It was a really short press conference with Andy Reid earlier today. We just got finished with that maybe 5 or 6 minutes ago. So why don't we take this opportunity and get into a little bit of what's trending?
I don't know where Drew keeps his little what's trending. Oh, here we go.
Hey, what's trending?
Yeah, dang.
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on what's trending. Let's start with this Monday night game last night, or Sunday night game, I should say, last night. Absolute offensive display. Brock Purdy, 5 total touchdowns, 3 through the air, 2 on the ground. Caleb Williams had an impressive day as well. I mean, the job that Kyle Shanahan is doing right now is among the best in football. And I understand heaping praise upon Ben Johnson in Chicago, Mike Vrabel in New England, the job that Liam Cohen has been doing with the Jacksonville Jaguars, these guys that are in their first year as head coaches or their first year with a new team as a head coach. But man, Kyle Shanahan deserves a lot of credit right now for what he's done with this injury-riddled San Francisco 49ers team that, with a win against the Seahawks on Saturday, will be the one seed in the NFC with all that they've had to deal with this year. Really, really impressive work.
It's very impressive. They're doing this with a banged-up offensive, you know, weapon room as well. The defensive talent, of course, you know, guys like Bosa are always banged up, but the talent on that defense is not what it usually is. Yeah, Kyle Shanahan might be cooking up his best season with the 49ers. Could be in the Coach of the Year conversation. Will definitely be in the Super Bowl hunt. And a big one this weekend against Seattle on Saturday night for the one seed.
Number two, a win for K-State last night on the basketball court. But again, it wasn't a very impressive win. K-State beats UL Monroe, that is the University of Louisiana Monroe, 94-85. UL Monroe is 3-11, and K-State gave up 85 points. Mind you, this team scored 65 points against Ole Miss, 61 against Houston Christian. They were held to 55 against East Tennessee State. This is not an explosive offensive team. Their last game, they only scored 62 against Louisiana. K-State gave up 85 last night. The problems continue defensively for this K-State team. They do not guard extremely well, giving up 85 points to a Warhawks team that was 3-10 coming in. K-State, however, you know, wins a win. They're 9-4 as they get set to begin their Big 10 slate on Big 12 slate on January 3rd with, hello, a matchup at home against BYU on the 3rd, and then they go on the road to play number one ranked Arizona on January 7th.
Well,
Jerome Tang, you got to figure it out and figure it out fast.
And don't worry, Jerome Tang is getting the fan base fired up after the game. He said, we can beat anybody in the Big 12, but I think anybody in the Big 12 can beat us. So if those aren't inspiring words from your head ball coach, I don't know what is.
Man, that has me ready to run through a brick wall, if for no other reason to concuss myself. Number three, bowl game for the Missouri Tigers over the weekend. And once again, the offensive woes doomed Missouri. A 13-7 loss on Saturday against Virginia. Cavaliers came in as the number 19 ranked team in the country. And I still have belief in Matt Zollers. I think he can be a really good quarterback. He was a top 100 recruit coming out of high school for a reason, but 101 yards on the ground or through the air in this game. Meanwhile, Ahmad Hardy and Jamal Roberts both averaging over 5 yards per touch. Ahmad Hardy almost 6 yards a carry, but it wasn't enough. Tigers lose 13-7. The offense failed them once again, specifically the passing attack. Tigers season finishes with an 8-5 record. Not ideal.
Not good. And I think I saw Prabula's entering the portal. Is that
yes,
right?
That's
it
what
was
I'm
over
hearing.
The holiday, so I couldn't remember if that was correct. I think a lot of fans put the offensive downturn at the quarterback switch, but I think they were sputtering before the Prabula injury anyway. So be interesting to see how they approach the quarterback position this offseason and if Tigers fans remain believers in Drinkwitz.
I think they'll stay believers. I definitely think Mizzou's going to go to the portal and try to find a quarterback, if for no other reason than to find somebody to compete with Matt Zollers.
Yes.
And what happens after that is anybody's best guess. But you've got solid wide receivers. I think you're probably going to lose a couple of those guys this offseason, certainly. Ahmad Hardy will be back, right? Somebody in the text line said that the Chiefs should take him in the third round. He's only a sophomore. A true sophomore at that. He's 20 years old, so he is not draft eligible. So you'll get the nation's leading rusher back. You have wide receiver weapons, even if you lose a couple to graduation and what have you. But the quarterback position has got to become more of a threat for this Chiefs team. That is when they are at their best, right? The best Mizzou team that Drinks ever had was with Brady Cook at quarterback, Schrader at the running back position. They could give it to you from anywhere offensively. That's what Mizzou's going to have to figure out, because their schedule next year in the regular season gets infinitely harder than it was this past year. We're going to do some stock up, stock down in just a little bit, but you know, we went through week 17 of the NFL and made some predictions and prognostications about who gets the one seed, who's going to win the AFC North, the NFC South. I'd like to do something similar here with award season, right? Regular season, the MVP, the offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, all those awards are tabulated and voted upon at the end of the regular season. So with 1 week remaining, let's make some predictions. Let's make some guesses. Let's throw some darts as to who is going to win every major award in the NFL this season with one game remaining for each team. I begin with the MVP award, and I have seen a lot of people trying to create this propaganda campaign for Drake May. Matthew Stafford is the NFL MVP. And if you say otherwise, you either hate Matthew Stafford for some reason, or you're a Patriots fan. Anybody who is not lying to themselves knows that Matthew Stafford is going to be the MVP of the National Football League this year, and he should be.
He should be. The stats are better. The touchdown to turnover ratio is better. I don't want to say he's doing more with less, because I just love that system he's in. I just don't see a world in which, just from my eyes, Matt Stafford has been better than Drake May this season. And a few of their losses as well, I think the team has lost in spite of Stafford, not because of Stafford. I love Matt Stafford. I want him to win the award, but I also think it's pretty clear. And I think Patriots fans are becoming a little insufferable. Hey, after the sixth touchdown against the Jets, we don't need more MVP chance. Guys, we don't. We get it. It was on the road in Baltimore, on the road in New York. Are we going to do that after every completion for Drake May? We're going to do the, like, you know, in the NBA, there's that one game late in the year where the guy goes to the free throw line and the fans chant. It's a big moment. Not after every single nice play.
Yeah.
Patriots fans, knock it off. Matt Stafford's the MVP.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, the fourth and fifth touchdown pass for Drake May in that game yesterday felt like Russell Westbrook coming down with that 10th rebound in the fourth quarter of a game to keep the triple-double streak alive. You know, so like, okay, so we're stat padding at this point a little bit.
And
I'm not trying to denigrate what Drake May has done this year. It's been extraordinary. He has morphed into a superstar quarterback before our very eyes. He is going to be the second team All-Pro selection at the quarterback position. He's been the best quarterback in the AFC this year, bar none. But Matthew Stafford is doing historic things right. He has got a touchdown to interception ratio of 8-1 right now. Drake May is hovering at like 3-1. That's what Stafford's doing right now. Yes, he has Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams to throw the football to. I will not argue that point. He's got better weapons. The Rams are probably still a 7 or an 8-win football team without Matthew Stafford. The Patriots are maybe a 4-win football team without Drake May. That doesn't necessarily, in my view, make Drake May more valuable than Matthew Stafford. Both of these teams, I think, would miss the playoffs if their backups were in rather than their starters.
I think everyone, I've heard this a few times, and I'm hearing it, I'm seeing it on the text line now, is nobody expected the Patriots to be where they are. That's not true. Plenty of people picked the Patriots to be in the playoffs. Mm. I had them in the playoffs. Did I have them winning 14 games? No. Mike Vrabel, how long are we going to do this? Right behind Reed, Tomlin, Shanahan, and McVay is Mike Vrabel. He's that good of a leader of men, of a defensive-minded head coach. I don't think we can be having Mike Vrabel in the coach of the year lead in terms of the odds and also say Drake May is the MVP. I don't think both can be true. I think people saw the Patriots ascent coming, even if it wasn't quite to this level.
Jacob Mustard, one of our producers, is in the text line. He's throwing out he's utilizing his Drake May propaganda right now. He said, "You guys have been insufferable for years talking about Mahomes and his MVP case. Drake May can get some love since he's the most ethical player and doesn't stat pad. Did I just say out loud he threw for 5 touchdowns against the Jets in week 17 in a game they won 42-10?
I mean,
that's textbook stat. That is quintessential stat padding, Mustard. Who are you lying to? Yourself?"
Yeah, shout out Mustard. I like Mustard. He's a good guy. We've had great conversations in here. couldn't disagree with you more. The Patriots were going to go down on a knee and end that first half yesterday before the penalty, and they decided to go down and score again. It was absolute stat padding.
Absolute
wasn't
stat
even close.
The Patriots have done remarkable things this year, and Drake May deserves a ton of credit, but he's not the MVP.
Sorry to cut you off. Here's another one. Out of the 816, a lot of mental gymnastics to downplay what New England has accomplished. I don't know what you're talking about. I picked them to go to the playoffs. I'm saying Mike Vrabel was a top five coach in football. What I'm saying is, I thought they'd be good. How's that downplaying what they've accomplished at all?
He's in the conversation for the coach of the year in the NFL this year is Mike Vrabel, and rightfully so. Drake May is going to be an all pro. He's a Pro Bowl selection. They seemingly have found a running back now, they continue to kind of go with the other guy a little bit more, but Travion Henderson, I think, is the future of that running back room. They've revitalized Stephon Diggs after a couple of downtrodden years for him. A lot of kudos to the Patriots. Absolutely. I just don't think Drake May is the MVP.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think they're a great organization. I don't think Drake May is the best quarterback or the MVP.
That's just where I'm at. When we come back, we'll go through the rest of these awards, offensive and defensive player of the year, rookies of the year on each side of the ball, coach of the year, and even executive of the year. That's all next here on Cody and Gold. Logan Weber filling in for Cody and Alex. Nathan Williams filling in for Drew Nixon here on this Monday, December 29th, getting you set for 2026 on 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
All right, we made our predictions for MVP. Nathan and I both think it's going to be Matthew Stafford. Let's move on. Let's get into some of the other awards, all right? Offensive Player of the Year. If there's a year where you want to give it to the guy that wins the MVP, I could see it. But I think that it's more or less the MVP has become the quarterback award and the offensive player of the year has gone to the best offensive player that isn't a quarterback. And in my view, I'd go with Jaxon Smith-Njigba. The year that he's put together, you know, I was very high on Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and you could see the flashes of it, but playing opposite of DK Metcalf, it was hard to tell if that was a hindrance on him or if that was going to be a help for him. You know, last year, 100 catches, 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns, and you're like, okay, can he continue to do that without DK? I didn't expect him to explode the way he has. 113 catches, 1,700 yards, 10 receiving touchdowns. He's top 5 among receivers in all 3 of those categories on a team that right now could be the 1 seed in the NFC with Sam Darnold leading the charge at quarterback. If I had a pick, mine would be JSN to win Offensive Player of the Year.
JSN is that guy. And, I mean, he won me my fantasy league. So shout out JSN. I have nothing but love for JSN. He and Sam Darnold, what an unexpected connection that's become. I got to go with Christian McCaffrey. We've talked a lot about the Niners already and Shanahan and his success. But along with that, we've talked about how few weapons they have on offense compared to what they used to have. Ayuk is doing 100 outside of the stadium, and Shanahan says we don't know where he is. Right, they traded Samuel, Kittle is hurt, and this offense still looks legit, like unstoppable legit. In 2 straight games, they have not been just on planet Earth. They're my pick to win the Super Bowl, and Christian McCaffrey is over 2,000 all-purpose yards already on the season. So I would go McCaffrey if I had a vote, but there's a guy that we're not giving enough love to in this conversation or the MVP conversation, and he's not a quarterback, so duh. James Cook. He's plus 10,000 for Offensive Player of the Year. I'm sorry. He is the MVP of that Buffalo team and should be in MVP talks for the NFL. That offense does not go, and that team does not go unless their run game is established. So we should be giving James Cook a lot more love in these conversations.
I like the Christian McCaffrey poll because I feel like people have undervalued what he's... They look at his rushing stats, and you're like, what do you mean? He's 7th in the league in rushing yards, and he's got 10 rushing touchdowns, which is... As of now, I think that that's maybe top 10, like 9th in the league. It's like, okay, yeah, if that's all you're looking at. But the guy also has 96 catches for another 900 yards through the air and 7 touchdowns. So 17 total touchdowns. And as you said, nearly 2,100 all-purpose yards this year is ridiculous. And you're exactly right. I mean, my younger brother's a Bills fan. Don't ask me why. And I've given him, you know, he's gotten mad at me this year when I've said, hey, James Cook is your best player. He's been your best player all year. Leads the league in rushing with 1,600 yards. It's funny that this is a debate now because a month ago, everybody would have been like, oh, putting money on anybody but Jonathan Taylor makes no sense whatsoever. But with Daniel Jones getting banged up and then ultimately the Achilles thing and he's out for the year, his numbers have really dropped off. And somehow he still leads the league in rushing touchdowns with 18. And yet nobody's seemingly talking about Jonathan Taylor in that conversation. Defensive Player of the Year. This one is not up for debate, okay? It's going to be Myles Garrett. It should be Myles Garrett. If it's not unanimous, take that person's vote away from them.
He didn't set the sack record, right? I know Rodgers didn't lay down for him like Favre did for Strahan.
He's still got one more week.
Twitter's upset. He could still set the record. But I'm saying even if he doesn't, by far and away the best player in the league on defense, it isn't close. And there's some deserving players elsewhere in a regular season. I don't know what else I could say about it. It's not close. It's Myles Garrett.
Yeah, I mean, you look around the league. I mean, a player like Ernest Jones – I feel like deserves a little bit of credit. You know, in 14 games this year, he's battled injuries and missed a couple games. He's got 121 total tackles, and he's 2nd in the league in picks with 5. Pretty extraordinary numbers, but you can't argue with what Myles Garrett has done. 22 sacks so far this year. That's 5.5 more than Brian Burns, who's in 2nd with 16.5. He's got 32 TFLs, which is 4 more than Max Crosby, who's got 28 in his 2nd in the league. 3rd in the league is Brian Burns with 21. He's got 10.5 more combined sacks and TFLs than the guy in 2nd. That is ridiculous.
Crazy.
What Myles Garrett has done this season. He is absolutely the defensive player of the year in this league. Offensive rookie of the year. And I'll be honest, it's kind of a disappointing year to discuss rookie of the year in either on either side of the football, because it just doesn't feel like the rookies have wowed like they have in the past, right? Like what Brock Bowers did last year for the Raiders is like, that's ridiculous. I mean, the amount, the catches, the yards, the touchdowns for a rookie tight end was just ludicrous what he put together. And that's just not the case this year. Like, I feel like it's going to be Teteroa and McMillan more or less by default.
Yeah.
You know, like Emeka Abuka is going to be in the conversation, but McMillan has the same number of yards, more catches, more touchdowns. It just feels like none of these rookies have burst onto the scene the way that a Brock Bowers or, I mean, the guy that finished third for the Rookie of the Year voting last year would win the award this year in a unanimous decision.
I think preseason, everyone put the money on Ashton Jeanty, and he hasn't done what folks thought he would do. Other guys had hot starts of the year. You mentioned Egbuka. You know, Amarian Hampton battled injuries. He might be in this conversation had those not happened. So I think it's McMillan, and the betting sites don't think it's close. But I did see someone interesting in second place this morning on DraftKings. It was Tyler Shook, the second in the year, second in the Offensive Rookie of the Year odds race right now. 9 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. Tyler Shook. That's how sparse this field is.
Yeah. And frankly, if he had played the first 10 games of the year for this New Orleans Saints team, he would win it in an absolute landslide fashion. But just comparatively speaking, talking about the AP Rookie of the Year offensively for this year compared to last, Bucky Irving finished 6th in Rookie of the Year voting last year. He had 1,100 yards rushing and 8 touchdowns, and he finished 6th. He would win this going away if he was a rookie this season. Malik Nabers finished 5th with 109 catches for 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns. That's the level of rookie last year we're talking about, comparatively speaking, to this year's rookie class. It's just been a little bit disappointing. I've been unfortunately surprised by the lack of real rookie productivity on that side of the football. Defensive Rookie of the Year, you know, I kind of went with the odds-on favorite. What Carson Schlesinger has done with the Browns this year has been really, really impressive to watch. I mean, 5th in the league in total tackles with 156, 11 TFLs, both of which lead all rookies across football, right? I mean, being top 5 in tackles as a rookie is really, really impressive. And he's also in the top 15, or I shouldn't say top 15, top 30 in TFLs as well. He has more TFLs than Chris Jones does. That's jarring.
Guy's been really good. I mean, the Browns have found their anchor on the defense. I understand Myles Garrett is the go-get-it guy, but their leader in the middle of that defense, far and away. That defense is already just completely lethal, and Schlesinger's been a big part of that. So there's a reason he's the betting favorite. Man, I think if the Falcons were what we thought they could be at the start of the season, we'd be talking more about James Pierce. Guy's got 8.5 sacks. Little bit quiet. And again, the Falcons have not reached expectations this season, but I'll throw James Pierce into the ring for Defensive Rookie of the Year.
I don't mind that. He's top 20 in the league, right? In sacks at 8.5. That's as many as guys like Leitu Latu, Harold Landry, Bradley Chubb, Montez Sweat has just one more sack than he has. Then we get to the Coach of the Year, which I think is the most wide open field of any of these awards, in my view. I think Offensive Player of the Year is an interesting one. Defensive Rookie of the Year is an interesting one. Coach of the Year, there are so many candidates to choose from, whether it be any of these first-year head coaches, Vrabel with the Patriots, Liam Cohen with the Jaguars, Ben Johnson of the Bears. I'm not going with any of those guys. My Coach of the Year pick is Kyle Shanahan. I mean, you lose Fred Warner, the best linebacker in football. You lose Nick Bosa, one of the best edge rushers in football. Your starting quarterback misses, 6 games in Brock Purdy? Christian McCaffrey has missed time this year. Ayuk hasn't played. He's, like you said, driving 100 miles an hour past the stadium and refusing to talk with the team. Ricky Pearsall has missed time. Kittle, Trent Williams has been banged up again. And if you win Saturday, you're still the one seed in the AFC. Kyle Shanahan has long been considered a top 5 coach in this league. He's taken this team to 2 Super Bowls for a reason. this is the best coaching job that he has ever done in his career. I feel like it's a layup to go with one of the first-year head coaches. But I think Kyle Shanahan's the coach of the year in this league.
I can't tell you you're wrong. And the books have him as the second favorite right now. Mike Vrabel is still the odds-on favorite. He's negative money on most books. I don't understand it. We knew this team was going to be good. We knew Mike Vrabel was a good coach. Maybe you can say that that's not what this award is. But it's what it's become. It is who's the new coach that's doing well unexpectedly. And Mike Vrabel does not fit that bill. I think it would have been Shane Steichen's award had Daniel Jones stayed healthy. I think getting what he was getting out of Daniel freaking Jones,
yeah.
I think he would have ran away with this award, even with Cohen's success and Ben Johnson's success. The guy I'm picking is behind all of those guys in the odds. He's even behind Sean Payton in the odds. It's DeMeco Ryans.
Mm.
We have collectively decided that his quarterback is not what we thought he was in his rookie year. This team gave up their all-pro left tackle before this season. They're playing without their wide receiver, too. They've had multiple veteran running backs go down and are down to a rookie in Woody Marks. And he's not even the offensive guy, right? Like, he's got that defense playing at such a high level. They're getting just enough offensively. Man, DeMeco Ryans, I think, is often overlooked as one of the really premier coaches in this league. Like I mentioned in that Mike Vrabel ilk in the last segment, I would vote for DeMeco Ryans in the coach of the year. I think this team could legitimately make a run in the playoffs. That's how good I think he has this team playing right now.
I mean, the defense, certainly. I think you're exactly right. And DeMeco Ryans, to me, and I don't mean to say this in like a disrespectful way, I'm not sure DeMeco Ryans is an NFL head coach long term. DeMeco Ryans to me feels like Steve Spagnuolo. Like he feels to me like a guy who is going to be an elite defensive coordinator for 30 years in this league. I just don't know about a Super Bowl winning head coach at this point. But I'm not arguing with your point about the job that he's done with his defense willing this Texans team into a playoff setting with all the things that have gone wrong on the offense. CJ Stroud hasn't been who we thought he was. It didn't help that he missed a bunch of time too, and they had to go with Davis Mills for a little while. I don't know. I'm not super high on DeMeco Ryans. I mean, maybe some of it is still just some animosity, some grievance that I'm holding over from that game last year in the playoffs against Houston, where he was making all these complaints and arguing, you know, blaming the officials for why they lost and not blaming Kaimi Fairbairn for missing three kicks or for CJ Stroud getting sacked seven times.
Yeah. I think out of that 49ers tree, that defensive tree that they've grown under Shanahan, so the Salas, the Morrises, I do think he is the most likely to stick as a head coach long term. I think a Robert Sala, elite defensive coordinator, can stick in the league for the long time. I think Raheem Morris, whether it's this offseason, I don't think so. He probably gets one more year in Atlanta. I think he will go back to being a coordinator as well. I think DeMeco Ryans has the staying power. And I mean, we mentioned last year, I'm with you on their collapse in Arrowhead. They were in the game in the divisional round. They won a game in the wild card round in a year in which, again, their quarterback fell off a cliff. Playing with the same quarterback and less to work with on offense, and they're still getting it done. So I would throw DeMeco Ryans in if I had a vote for coach of the year.
I like that. I like that. And then finally, executive of the year, and this is one that we both agree on, John Schneider of the Seattle Seahawks. You know, it's a team that, yes, they won 10 games last year, but bringing in Sam Darnold, I think, and what it's done to improve their team, I think even less so is a positive for the argument. Look at what it's done to the Minnesota Vikings, you know, like bringing him in from Minnesota and seeing the impact he had on the Vikings and how far they've fallen off compared to how much improved Seattle is. John Schneider is probably the executive of the year in the NFL.
They've like almost remade the Legion of Boom again with Iman Wari and Witherspoon in the draft these last few years. This Murphy kid, who I think is in his second year out of Texas, is balling out. They've made really shrewd moves on that defensive line. Obviously, a few years ago, they were investing heavily in the offensive line and in wide receiver. We've talked about JSN in this segment as well.
Yeah, they clowned him for trading away DK Metcalf.
Right.
That hasn't hurt him.
And so we talked about Walker and Charbonnet earlier in the show as well. And so you just rounded that out with Pete Carroll. This front office has made, they pushed all the right buttons for like 3 or 4 years in a row now. I think John Schneider is going to run away with this award in the same way that Myles Garrett runs away with Defensive Player of the Year. I think it's John Schneider in Seattle, and I don't think it's close.
Completely in agreement with you. So that's how we see the award season playing out. Curious to hear your thoughts on it. 913-586-7965. Also curious to get your thoughts on what is today our random question of the day.
Random question.
Feels like a gimme question to ask on a day like today. First live show after the Christmas holiday. But let's do it. What was the big gift that you got for Christmas? Again, our text line, 913-586-7965. I don't care what age you are. Everybody still enjoys Christmas. Everybody has that one gift that they got that they were like, oh man, that was not expected. And that's kind of sick. What is it? You know, if you'd like to start, Nathan, go ahead.
Do I want to be that guy? I guess I will. I'll get it out of the way first. It was the time that I got to spend with loved ones that meant the most. This particular Christmas was just full of more love and just less speed bumps than it usually is with some of my extended family. And that's all I'll say on that. But also, like, just welcomed in a whole new family this year as well. I got married this year, so spending Christmas with them as well. That was fantastic. To get to the material items, Men's Warehouse gift cards. I'm getting me a new suit here soon. And so that's almost all paid off from a few nice family members of mine. So I got myself a new suit for Christmas, and that's pretty valuable. I mean, I don't have money. I don't have new suit money. So I really appreciate that one.
That's a good one. I like that. Yeah. And good on you to, you know, throw out the spending time with family thing. That's always good, you know, especially as you get older. And like, as an adult now, you know, my wife and I, we're back in the area. It's like the first time in 5 years for us that we didn't have to drive 3 hours to get back home to spend Christmas with either one of our families, my wife's side of the family or mine. So being an hour from home was really, really nice. We got to spend basically the whole week at home, you know, spent the night at my parents' house a couple times, my niece and nephew's house, my parents' house. It was a lot of fun. For me, though, in terms of what you were saying with the actual, you know, physical gifts, I got a grill for Christmas, which was kind of cool. I wasn't expecting that. And I'm going to get clowned for this, and I get it. Understandable. I'm 27, almost 28 years old. I've never owned a grill before. You know, I grew up at the house. Dad had a grill, and then I went to college and had no need for one, and then moved to Springfield with my wife, and we lived in apartments. Who's going to grill at an apartment? Like, even when we had a ground floor apartment, we had a balcony, quote unquote, but it's on the ground floor. Like, we would be grilling in the parking lot. So never had one before, but now that we own a home and I have an opportunity, I have a place to put a grill that makes sense now. It was kind of cool. So my parents bought me that, and immediately the thought occurred to me, I've never grilled by myself before. So yes, go ahead and flame me. I'm 27, almost 28 years old. I don't know how to grill. But part of the gift now is that I have to learn, and I really look forward to it, because sometimes I'm like, you know what sounds good for dinner? Cheeseburgers. But I'm not about to make that on the stovetop, you know? And I'm tired of using like the George Foreman grill that we have in our house. So, you know, being able to make hamburgers and steaks and brats and things like that, and I can actually grill them. I don't have to put them in the oven or try to cook them on a stove or some weird electric heated grill is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm a Blackstone guy over a grill guy, but like yes. Moving out of an apartment and into a house and being able to just say, you know what? It's a nice day out. I'm going to turn the Royals on the Odyssey app, go grab an adult beverage and fire up the grill. Or in your case, a Diet Mountain Dew and go out and fire up the grill. Yeah, it's an elite evening. So you're going to have some fun with that one. And there's some good ones on the text line. The one I like the most out of the 316 is an espresso machine. It's not one that they receive. They said they give their wife an espresso machine. That's a great gift.
Hell yeah. I love grilling. Please feel free to reach out with any questions. I may just do that. Charcoal or gas grill? It's gas. Yeah, propane. I just figured charcoal would be... It's a beginner level grill, right? That's all I'm looking for here. And so, yeah, gas, propane. I didn't want to deal with the charcoal and all that stuff. And
a couple years, you'll want charcoal, then you'll want a smoker. Like you'll eventually have like five different gadgets in your backyard. But it's a fine place to start.
I'd love to eventually like get to a point in comfortability with a grill to like run a natural gas line for the grill. So that I'm not constantly having to fill up a propane tank or a natural gas tank or buy charcoal all the time. I'd love to reach that point, but I'm very, very new to this whole thing. Somebody says, LOL, my kids got me a vacuum sealer thing for food. I buy steaks in bulk when I buy these, so no more Ziploc bags for me. Oh, yeah. Grill tips, make sure you oil the protein or the grill grates so the food doesn't stick. Got you. And don't worry, I will make sure to well season whatever steak, hamburger, whatever it is. I got an 18-pound prime rib to smoke on my grill. Too bad the Chiefs suck, and I will be doing that for New Year's instead of the playoffs.
Hey, yeah, 816, tough, thanks, dude, for leaving your address at the end of that text. Logan and I will be there on New Year's Eve.
Somebody else said they got the red, black, and white Jordans with the 23. He said, I'm 46 and I had the same shoes when I was about 11 years old. That's sick. I got a pair of Pandas, like Nike Elite Pandas, a few months back, which is, I was really looking forward to those. No doubt about it. YouTube is a griller's best friend. I will be sure to take that under advisement. 913-586-7965 is our number. Final hour of the program coming up next. We're going to lead with some stock up, stock down, may get into some what's trending, and revisit some of the topics from earlier in the show, including, should the Chiefs take a running back at number 9? My response, hell no. Logan Weber and Nathan Williams filling in for the guys here on Cody and Gold, 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to Plansmore, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.